All right, good to see y'all again this morning. This is a continuation of the message I gave a while back, and I entitled it, God's Not Dead. The first part of faith, faith acknowledged. So then now we're going to the second part of what faith is. Faith is kind of confusing, been confusing for me for so many years as a believer. And what is real faith? You hear a lot of things about faith from so many speakers, especially on TV and what you hear. But really, what is faith? What does the Bible really teach about faith? You know, we come to Hebrews 11:1, you know, that says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, what does that mean? You know, is that really a definition of faith? And I've had people quote that to me all the time. And I said, well, really, does that really tell me what it means? And it really didn't really give me really a structure of what faith was and what it was. Now, it does say that it's the evidence of things not seen. It's the proof. It does give us proof of things that we cannot see. We cannot see God. We cannot see eternity. We cannot see heaven. We cannot see hell. But faith gives us a spiritual picture in a physical world. Amen. Now the world, it says, well, faith doesn't have any evidence. You don't need any proof. It's just blind faith, they call it. You see? But the Bible says it's the evidence of things hoped for. Amen. God gives us proof or evidence about the spirit world inside of the soul of man. And he opens up the eyes of people to be able to see God's activity all around us. That's an amazing thing. The world cannot see eternal things, cannot see the living God in action, cannot see the reality of another world out there, another dimension. They think it's aliens and they're looking for ghosts and things like this. And I always say, yes, aliens exist, but they're demons. They're trying to take over the world. Of course they are. They're trying to take over people and everything else. But yes, aliens exist, and God is real, and God is not dead. Amen. He is alive today. But it's if we see that, if we acknowledge that, if we're looking at that. Now, the Bible says that there's no other way to live, because it looks at Hebrews 11:6. If you turn there, up on the screen, Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So it's impossible to please God without faith. And if you look in 10:38, it says the just shall live by faith. And other places in the Bible, the just shall live by faith. And it's impossible. There's no way that your life can ever be pleasing to God without faith. Amen. So faith is pretty important to understand. If it's the only way we can please God, it's really important to understand. Now we must believe that He is. And it wasn't until God had revealed to me in Hebrews 11:7 to God spoke to me so clearly one night, what is true faith? And look what it says. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen of yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became an heir of righteousness, which is by faith. There are three elements of faith. Three. Just remember, faith always begins with God, and it ends with God. Man is always in the middle. I don't care if you're talking about the Christian faith after salvation or saving faith. Faith is faith throughout the Bible. It always begins with acknowledging God. It always begins from a word from God. Then man is in the middle. He's going to actually respond or not respond to what God is saying. And then God is going to accomplish His work in the world through people. That's just His design. That's just the way God is going to do it.
So the first message was on God's acknowledgement. That God is not dead. That I must come, as it says in Hebrews 11:6. I must believe that He is. That He is who He says He is. And His Word is. Without that foundation of coming to the Word of God, coming with your life to believe God is who He says He is. That He's real. Now what the devil does, he says, well, God's not real. Have you ever had that happen to you? Oh, I've had it happen many times to me. And he puts doubts in your head. Oh, this is not real. Oh, God's not real. This Word is not real. Man, just look at those Christians out there. They're failures. You know, God's not real. That's a lot of people say, oh, well, look, all those hypocrites in church. Well, the church is a hospital of sinners. It's a hospital for the sick. Because we're all sinners. Trying to ask for the grace and mercy of God. But, see, the world looks at things a lot different than the Word of God. But we must believe that He is. That He is who He says He is. Even though the devil tries to give us doubts about this in our minds, in our heart. Fleshly faith always begins with man. It always begins with man. It says that, okay, it doesn't matter really what God says. It matters what I say. And they have a lot of preachers, especially on TV and other places, that say, look, all you have to do is speak faith. It's inside of you. Just drum it up. Just get it out of you. Speak it and it will happen. Just say the word and God is going to come down and do what you say. I'm going to say, what God you serve? This God is holy, sovereign. He's the King. He's the Lord. You are just a little bitty grain of sand. Who do you think you are? Who are you in the sight of Almighty God? His mind is not like ours. His thinking's not like ours. His ways are not like ours, the Bible says. And you going to tell God to do what you want to do? You become a God. No. Faith always begins with God. Fleshly faith, it begins with man. And every time you have something that begins with man, it will always be nothing. It won't accomplish nothing. Listen, even when you're doing something for God, and we'll get into that. Even when you decide to do an activity for God, in the name of God. Because faith always begins with Almighty God. Always begins. Biblical faith is God speaking to man and man taking that action. See, Noah, he was divinely warned of God of things that people could not see. It was a spiritual thing. They could not see the judgment of God coming upon the world. But Noah did. Noah did. And I said last time that God speaks through four ways. He speaks through His Word. He speaks through people. He speaks through prayer. And He speaks through circumstances. So every time God is not dead, He's moving around us, always speaking, always saying things to us. We can look at circumstances especially, and we can say, what is going on here? Or we can just look at the circumstance and let it defeat us. People that know me well, my wife and Ross all the time, when a situation happens, I say, let's see what God is saying. Amen. Let's see what God is doing. So what happened at the end of 2014 in December? I got laid off. I've been working there for 8 years. Just got laid off. Oh my goodness, what am I going to do? You know? What are you going to do? I mean, people in the other church we were going to, I think they were afraid of maybe we might ask for some money or something. I don't know, but it seems like they're kind of standoffish of it. You know, what happens when you don't have an income anymore? And that's a real threat of everybody going on right now. And I tell you what, I prayed to the Lord, I asked the Lord, you know, and it wasn't until I just came and the Lord just spoke to me about Elijah going to the brook, being fed by the ravens. And then he went, after that, after the brook dried up, to the Sidonian woman, who was just poor as can be, barely making it, ready to die, and God provided for him. And you know what? I look back, you know, God was just trying to comfort me. Hey, I'm going to take care of you. You know, I went to a job, and actually he was going to the east. That's what I did. I actually went east and went to the northeast for a job for a few months. And God provided for me there. Now he brought me to this place when his guy was almost ready to close shop. I mean, it was dying. It's still on the brink. But you know, I've been there over 6 months now. In fact, his wife, the CEO's wife, just told me and my wife, God sent you here to us. See, God has a way to send you the people that are hurting and situations that are hurting, even though your circumstances don't look right. My niece was so discouraged because her sister had a growth on the back and is surrounded around 18 blood vessels. This is the only place that can work on it. It's in Cincinnati. You know, what are we going to do? You know, she was just so worried. And worry is sin, by the way. Worry is the opposite of faith. Worry is not trusting God. Worry is you handling your circumstances on your own. That's what worry is. Okay? And I said to her, I said, look at what God's trying to do. How about if she would get saved? How about if she would get saved through this? We've been always wanting her to get saved. Her mother, who led me to Christ, you know, who passed away now, wanted her to get saved. Wrote in a letter, you know, for her to get saved. How about if she gets saved and changes that whole situation through this terrible circumstances? You see, God does not all, doesn't look at things as we do.
Amen.
He looks at situations that are more eternal in nature. He looks at the big picture. The big picture. And we need to look at the same thing with circumstances. Now, do we always hear God, the Word of God? Do we ever struggle? Yes, we can. We read in Jonathan, 1 Samuel 14. Jonathan saw, hey man, look what's going on. They only had two swords in all of Israel. Him and his dad, they only had two swords. But yet he says, you know what? It doesn't matter about how many people there is. God can give the victory to few or a lot.
Amen.
And he says, you know what? They had that little garrison there. He says, you know what? If God calls us to go up that hill, where they had two sharp mountains here, he had to literally crawl up on his hands and knees. He says, you know, if God says to go that way, then, you know, God's given us the victory. If it doesn't happen, then, okay, no problem. So he, what did they do? They called for God. He followed God. He says, man, God's given us the victory. I can see it in the circumstances. God's given us the victory. And he did, and God gave him the victory. Impossible odds. Impossible odds. God speaks through the circumstances. Now, sometimes we go, and then, you know, then God redirects us. Look at Paul, Acts 16. Can you read that? Acts 16, 6 and 7. See, right here, Paul is wanting to go to Asia, wanting to go west, and God says, no. No, don't go there. Now he's wanting to go north to verse 7 by Athena, and God says no there either. And then finally the Lord leads him to Philippi and Thessalonica, and that's where Europe was at. That's how God used his plan to spread the gospel throughout the world.
Amen.
He used Europe to do it and spread the gospel. Even the United States later to do that. But that was God's way. That was God's plan. Here's Paul trying to figure out where God's going. What is God doing? Sensitive to the Holy Spirit in his life. And then when God spoke, he went another direction. It's not that he never stopped doing God's work. He was sensitive to the Spirit of God and wanted to go where God wanted him to go.
Amen.
Not where he wanted to go. Not asking God, well, oh, you know what? They got a lot of people that need to be saved in Asia.
No.
It's where God wanted to go. And this is how the pattern for our own life is that we're to do what God is telling us to do.
Amen.
Not what looks right to do, but what is God speaking to us. Because God is a sovereign God. He's alive. He's not dead. And He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He has a plan. He sees the big picture. And He's directing everybody and everything around it to accomplish His work and His plan. He's given you specific gifts, specific abilities, specific opportunities to accomplish His plan, His way. So the first way, the first step of faith is that God speaks through His Word. We must acknowledge God, living God. He's working all around us, and that He speaks. Then the second part, in line with that, after God speaks, it's man's part. So what is it saying? Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, it, God spoke, told him what to do. Then what he did? He moved with fear and prepared an ark. He moved with fear, reverence, respect for who God is. He's a holy God. He's the guy in charge, not you. He's the Lord of this world. And when you surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that you become a slave. You've been bought with a price. Guess what? You don't own your life anymore. Amen. You think you do, but you don't. God owns your life. And you are to surrender your life every single day to what He wants in your life. It says in Genesis 6:22 that Noah did according to everything the Lord asked him to do. Everything. He did according to all God had commanded him. Why God used Noah? Because He's willing to do everything God commanded. And that word all is very important. Because if you don't do it all, then God is not interested in it. And it doesn't matter if you're looking at Noah or Abraham offering up Isaac or anything you look at faith in the Bible. It begins with God speaking. Man acts upon what God speaks, and then God completes the work through man. I don't know if we ever get to the third part, but today we're going to focus on the second part. Okay? This is what we're going to do from here on out. God will not work any other way in the world. God's way is to do His will, His way, His plan through people. But let's say that you do not do what God says. That's dead faith. Fleshly faith begins with man. Dead faith is when God tells you to do something and you don't do it. Or God has all this activity around you and you don't see. You're too busy with this life. You're too busy looking at the circumstances around you and you're not looking for God. Don't worry about the economy and the oil prices. Look at God. What is God wanting to do in your life right now today? Don't look at your circumstances. My friend, we all go through circumstances. I mean, sometimes bad, sometimes not. Some of us have more trials than others. Look at other people in this room. Think you have trials. Think you got it bad. Dead faith is when God is telling you to do something or He has these things going on around you and you don't see it. You don't recognize it. You just ignore it or you just don't do it. Man, I tell you what, I've preached and I've had people grab onto the pew Sunday after Sunday. I'd see them cry with tears, you know, resisting the Spirit of God and shaking their head. No, no God. No God. I remember I witnessed to this guy named Bobby. He was living on the street. He was an engineer. Lost everything in his life. Everything. Lost his family. Lost his home. Lost his good income and his job. And he was on the street. Alcoholic. Just drinking his life away. And he wanted some money. I said, no, Bobby. He says, but I'm hungry. I said, okay, I'm going to go buy you some chicken. I went buy him a big box of chicken. And I'm witnessing to Bobby. And I'm telling Bobby about his need to surrender to Christ. And Bobby says, no, I can't do it. I mean, Bobby started crying. I started crying. And he still said, no, no, no. I don't know God's ever going to give him another chance, I really don't know. I really don't know whatever happened to him. I can tell you what happened to Doc Boone, though. I witnessed the Doc Boone. In fact, the church who I was a part of, they said, don't go to that neighborhood. It's a bad neighborhood. Well, that's the one I wanted to go to. I witnessed old Doc Boone with the tattoos and all. Went the first time in his trailer. And he pulled a gun out on me. He says, man, I'm going to send you to hell. I said, I can't go there. I said, you can pull the trigger, but I'm going to heaven. I can't go to hell.
That's right.
Ha, 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 he laughed, you know. Biker guy, you know. He tattoos and everything. Tough guy, you know. And I'd always go witness to him. Every time I'd be in the neighborhood, I'd stop. I said, Doc, you want to give your life to the Lord today? Oh, no, I'm not ready. Not ready. Well, I came back from India, and somebody sent me a message. He says, you know, Doc Boone, he got cancer. He got stomach cancer, but he wanted you to know he gave his life to Christ. He finally turned before it was too late. Dead faith is when we say no. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit of God. The word literally quench means to put out the fire. Put out a fire. In Mark 9:48 and Matthew 25:8, it literally means to put out a flame. Or put out a lamp fire. That we can extinguish the Spirit of God speaking and working in our life. God wants to accomplish a work and we kill it. God, we can't kill God. But we kill the work of God that He wants to accomplish through you to bless you and bless other people. Because you said no. You said no or you did not recognize it. Because of your lifestyle and what you're doing. We kill, we extinguish what God is actually doing in our life. And Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And the fire in the book of Acts is often symbolized, if you read in the beginning at Pentecost, by fire. And that fire is us saying no to the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing in Ephesians 6:16 that it says that we're to use the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. Isn't it amazing? So many believers have the devil beating up on them all the time because they're not living by faith. They're quenching the Spirit of God in their life. And thus, they can't have the shield of faith and they can't stop or put out the fiery darts of the wicked. They can't do it. And the devil continues to attack them. Because how do you fight the fiery darts? How do you put out the fire of the devil in your life? By the shield of faith. But if you're not living by faith, if you're not listening to what God is doing, you're not recognizing what God's doing around you in your life, and you're not acting upon that, the devil has free reign in your life. Because you're living your life like you want to live it. Like you think it's best. Same thing happened to Saul. Old Saul, lost like he was. He did not obey God. He had the evil spirits beating up on him all the time. It was only because of the grace of David in his life that the spirits would go away. Because David was a man of faith. But it's typical in the church today as Paul. And just like Cain and Abel. Cain did not want to do what God wanted him to do, the way God wanted him to do, and the sacrifice that God wanted him to give, but Abel was. So what did Cain do? He killed Abel. And what are we reading in the book of 1 Samuel? Saul's always trying to kill. He's always trying to kill somebody, David. Because David's the man of faith. David's the one who's doing God's will, and Saul is not. 1 Samuel 15... Let's turn to 1 Samuel 15. We've covered this before, but I want to relate it back to what we're talking about this morning about faith and action. 1 Samuel 15, starting in verse 13. And Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. So God told him to go out and kill all these people, kill everything, the cattle, everybody, kill them all. And here's Samuel's finally coming back. And what does Saul say? Hey, Samuel, I've done everything God wanted me to do. Oh, he was patting himself on the back. Woo, man, look at what I've done. I did everything God wanted us to do. You know, this is typical in the church today. We did everything God wanted us to do. We came to church, right? We gave. We learned. We learned something about the Bible. And then we left. And then later, 7 days later, we come back to church. And we give. We're here. We're fellowship. We learn something about the Bible. And we go back home. But where is God working in our life? Where is the living God working in us and us surrendered to His will? Because look, you can pat yourself on the back. Oh, I performed the work of God. And you're not doing God's work. Because you know what? You can keep on learning and learning and learning and learning and learning and learning and learning. And it's like, how much are you going to learn? When are you going to do it? When are you going to live it? When are you going to do what God is asking you to do according to the Word of God? And it's not within this little church or any church. It's not here. It's out there. We learn here to go out and get the tools to go out there. But you know what? If that's the end of it, then we are in trouble. You know what? Thank God that you're, Brother Jeff, praise God. You're now we're going to let these people come in for Mardi Gras. Man, that's great. Praise God for that. I started a ministry back in 1985 called Bayou Evangelism. I went to Mardi Gras parades. I took youth to it. I went to it. I remember I came the first time I went to Houma. I was terrified because I was right near the Harley-Davidson shop back then in downtown Houma. And they had all the bikers. So the first people I had to go to was the bikers. And they had a guy named Aaron Champagne, a big, big guy, much bigger than I was. And he was supposed to come witness to me. And I kept on looking at my clock, my watch, and boy, the parades is coming. I can hear him coming down. And man, he's not there. And I'm all by myself. And the first people I have to do, I have to walk across the little bridge. And there they are, all the bikers. First people I had to confront. Man, I tell you what, you talk about a struggle, whether I'm in God's will or not, you know. So I started passing out tracts. I crossed that bridge, you know. Of course, they talked about throwing me in the bayou and stuff like this. I mean, they said it all, you know. Some of them threw the tracts down, but some of them kept it and read it, you know. Amen. And I'm not going to be here next weekend unless I come back early. But praise God that we're doing something different. I'm afraid, church in America, we've so designed the church that we fellowship, we learn, we give, we come, and we don't do. The whole design of the church. Really. And even our own lives. You know, when's the last time you told somebody about Jesus Christ? When's the last time that we said something to another person? And what does Saul say? But Samuel said, what's that sheep and oxen I hear in verse 14? What is that? If you did what God wanted you to do, what do I hear? And of course, what does he say in verse 15? For the people spared it. And you know why? Because they're going to sacrifice to the Lord. Hey, man, we got it. We didn't obey God all the way, but it would be because we had a purpose. Because we're going to sacrifice to God. We're going to do something great for God. We're going to do this thing. And what did he say? He said in verse 18, Samuel saying this to Saul. He says, now the Lord sent you on a mission to go and utterly destroy them all. And to fight against them until they're consumed. Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? And what does Saul says? But I have obeyed in verse 20. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. And I've gone on the mission. He justified himself. But don't we do that today? In the church? I'm talking about not just this church, all churches, not one church, all churches. We justify ourselves. Isn't God giving us the commandment to go out, Matthew 28, to make disciples of all nations, teaching them,
amen,
baptizing them, to come into the church? He's told us to do that. That's our mission, by the way.
Amen.
Saul's mission was to eliminate everybody there. Did he do it?
No.
Part way. He did it part way. Do we do it? Partially. Is that good enough? God says, no way. No way, Jose. That's not good enough. But I went on the mission. And look, I obeyed God. What does Samuel say? Samuel says in verse 22, he says, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed better than the fat of lambs. Verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. He's saying that you're not obeying all the voice of God, so that is like idolatry. Oh, I don't worship idols. Oh, do we? He says it's like idolatry and rebellion because you only did half of what God wanted you to do. How easy is it for us to deceive ourselves? Isn't it amazing how easy it is for us to think that we're okay when we're not okay? When how we're living our life is not according to where God wants us to be? Are we living our life that we are actively seeking the Lord around us? We living our life that God is not dead, that He's alive, He's real. We're seeking Him to speak to our lives. We're looking how He's working in circumstances. We're looking through prayer, through people, how He speaks. He speaks through the preaching of His Word. He's speaking to us now, right now. He's speaking to me, speaking to you, deep in our soul. He's trying to tell us a message for us to do what He wants us to do. Why? Because He loves us. He cares for us. He wants us to have the best. But it's only going to be when we follow His way and His will because He's the Lord. But we can deceive ourselves and say, well, look, I've done this little bit. Look, I go to church. I give. I fellowship. I do a few things. I'm okay, right? So, are we really doing what we're supposed to do? What is God telling you to do today? He may have told you something in the past. I don't know. But what is He telling you today that He wants you to do so we don't get deceived? Let's turn to James. Now, James relates back to this whole discussion of faith and action. Faith and action. James talks quite a bit about this thing. Been confusing to some people because you cannot get saved through your actions. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You see, if we're only hearing God's word and we're not doing God's word, it's very easy to deceive ourselves. Now the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. That's true. You cannot do anything without God beginning it. You hear the word of God and you act upon it. But He says, you know, if you're not doers, you deceive yourself. For it says in verse 23, for anyone who's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing himself in a natural mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, the truth of God, and continues it, is not forgetful here, but a doer of the word, and one that is blessed in what he does. how easy it is for us to hear the Word of God. It ever happened to you? You hear the Word of God. God spoke to you. And you just left church and forgot all about it. And you kept on living like you always did. Instead of responding to the Spirit of God in your life, letting it change your heart, your outlook on life, and living that out in your life. It's so easy to deceive ourselves, the Bible says here. As Saul did, as it says here in James, for us to forget because we're not doers of the Word of God. We're not doers. Matthew 5:16, it says, let your light so shine. Let your light so shine before others. We don't keep our light hidden. We let our light shine to other people so they can see the Word of God. Let's turn. We're going to come back to James, but let's go to Matthew right now. Matthew, and I'm talking about how easily it is for us to be deceived. Matthew 7, starting in verse 20. Matthew 7, verse 20. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. By their actions. By what comes out of their life, you will know them. Look what it says, verse 21. This is verse 21 and 22 always has shook me up. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Didn't we say one of the things in prayer we're always to pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will that's in heaven, your plan, your purposes for my life, I'm going to accomplish them on this earth. Does the will of my Father in heaven, many will say to me in verse 22 in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied and preached in your name, cast out demons, and done many wonderful works in your name? And then I would declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will take him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock, on Jesus Christ, the Word of God. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them not will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and it was a great fall. So it says in verse 21, not everybody who says with their mouth, Lord, Lord, or even does some activity, preaching, teaching, even casting out a demon by the name of the Lord, or doing other wonderful works, will not even go to heaven. That's pretty serious. That's pretty deceived. That's deceived to the maximum. I mean, you're a believer. You're in the church. You're doing works for God. And they don't count. God says they're worthless. Why? It's because it began with you. It begins with man. It's fleshly faith. You're saying, God, okay, I'm going to go do this and you bless me. God says, no, you do what I'm telling you to do, then I'll bless you. Because I'm God and you're not. And we can say a lot of things with our mouth. We can say we're believers. We can say this and that about God. We can risk, oh God, praise your name. And we can just really get into praising God. And we can jump and hoop and holler. We can make a show. That doesn't matter. What matters is that God has spoken to us. He speaks through His Word. He speaks through people. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks through prayer. And we're doing what God is telling us to do. Now, there's certain things in Scripture that He says, like witnessing to the lost. I mean, that's a given. But you know, the devil doesn't want us to even speak about Jesus. Boy, you can speak about God. But boy, you talk about Jesus in the grocery line to somebody. Oh, man, they might think you're crazy. But you know, you read in Hebrews chapter 11, around verse 13, you know what these people said? Hey, we're just traveling through. We're just pilgrims. We're just pilgrims. This is not our home. This is not our world. We're just passing through. Doesn't matter what anybody thinks about me. I'm surrendered to my Lord.
Amen.
He's my king. He's my master. He's my ruler. What he says, I will do. It doesn't matter what people think.
Amen.
Because they can't see the one true God anyway. They believe God is dead. I believe God is alive. And I live my life differently from other people. And when God speaks, as he's speaking now, as he's speaking to you deep inside of your soul, he's telling different people different things. We are to respond to what God is telling us to do. And my friend, this revolutionized my life. It radically changed my life. Because everything in my life, I am looking for God everywhere. Every circumstance, everything. And God is always working. Always. Because he loves us. He's not going to give you a stone. He's not going to give you a snake. He loves you. And he's for you. He's not against you. You may not understand it. You may not like it. Now, God never said he's going to make you feel good or give you everything you want or everything you like. Hey, this life is hard. We live in sin. And this life is very hard. I don't like all the circumstances I've been in. Ever. But you know what? God uses them for his glory. And he uses it to bless your life.
Amen.
To bless you. And to bless others. Because God is on the move. But we can deceive ourselves into thinking that we're okay where we're at. And what we're doing. And God says, Jesus says, "Be gone from me. I never knew you. You knew about me, but I did not know about you." You know what the Bible says in James 2:19? It says the demons believe and they tremble. The demons of hell know about God. They know all about God. They know he speaks. They know all he's done. But guess what? If you believe, that's not good enough. See, believe and faith is the same word, by the way. Same Greek word. One's a believe is the verb and faith is the noun. They're same exact Greek word. They mean the same thing. But you see, with faith, the demons know about God. They know what he's saying, but they're not doing what he's saying. They're not surrendered to the Lord daily in their life. They do what they want to do. Like most people in this world. Even in the church. Believe it or not. Come on, let's get honest. Okay? Because you believe about God doesn't mean that he knows you. As it says in Matthew 7, he says, "I never knew you." There's people that done a lot of work for God. They preached, they did a lot of wonderful works for God, but they didn't have a relationship with God because they're doing things for God, but they didn't have a relationship to God because they're not surrendered to God and what he wanted. You see, you can believe in God and say, "Oh God, I've done a lot of wonderful things for you. I've done some good things. I'm a good person." But none of those things can get you to heaven.
Amen.
A lot of people have done good things, even in the church. But your goodness never will take away your sin.
Amen.
There's only one way to take away your sin. That's a surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ through the blood of Christ. That's the only way to take away your sin. There's nothing you can do to take away your sin.
Amen.
Nothing. No good works. You can be the best person in the world. You can have done all these good acts. That doesn't take away your sin. It's only doing it God's way. As Cain found out. And Abel surrendered God's way through the blood of Jesus Christ. James 2:14. Let's go back to the book of James. Because there's been some confusion with Hebrews in the book of James. So we're going to look at James 2:14. James 2:14 says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if one says he has faith but does not have work, can it save him?" See, the book of James, as in the other parts of the Bible, it says, if someone says with their lips, that I have faith without any action works. Can that faith save him? No, it cannot. You can say a lot of things with your lips, but your actions prove it. And we read another part of the Bible. You know them by their fruits. You know them by their actions. You know the believers by their lifestyle. Without action, it is dead. And you see that. It says in verse 17. Also, faith by itself, it does not have works, is dead. It repeats that. Not just to do it, but in verse 20 and verse 26 of James chapter 2, it says, without it is dead. Without works, without action, is dead. And our life is dead without surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, it says in Hebrews 11:6. So what is faith? Faith is God speaking, God moving, God telling us things through His Word and circumstance and people and prayer of where He wants us at. And that we take action upon that and then He works through us. Or we say no. Or we just don't recognize it. Or He tells us about it and we just forget about it. We just go on our way. We get so busy in this life. We got a busy life, don't we? It's so easy to forget about what God is telling us to do, what God has said in His Word, what God is trying to tell us right now. We forget about it. We forget about what God is saying to us. Either way, it still ends up to the same thing. God has only one way. Only one way. And this is His way. He speaks. We take action. And He does His work in the world. That's the only way He's ever going to do it. That's the life of a believer. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Unless we hearing God, that's where it begins. We believing that He is, Hebrews 11:6. We believing that He is who He says He is. We believing His Word. We're surrendering to that Word. We're hearing that Word. And then we're taking action on that Word. We're surrendering to that Word. We're doing the Word of God as He has told us to do it. Then, and only then, will that please God. We want a life pleasing to God? We all do, right? We all want a life that pleases God. This thing about faith was very confusing for a long time until I figured out that God begins everything. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, it says. He begins it and He ends it. By faith, Noah, he was warned of God. God spoke to him. And what he did, he surrendered to what God was saying. He moved with fear. We need a lot of fear in our life today, respect for who God is. We think we're so big and high and mighty. You know what respect and fear says? I'm way down here. You way up there, God. I need You. Without You, I can't live this life. I'm surrendered to You. That's what fear and respect. Well, we've lacked that today, huh? Respect and fear. We don't have that. I mean, the world's gone in chaos. Kids are growing up today. They have no respect for parents or anybody else. And no respect for authority. People are just killing each other senselessly because they don't even have respect for life anymore. But God wants us to respect Him. And what He says, we'll do. Not just to come to Christ, but every single day of our life. Amen. You see, because the believer's life is surrendered to the Lord, he becomes the ruler, master, and boss of their life. And then every single day, that believer says, God, what You want me to do today? What is happening around me? I'm not looking at the circumstances. I'm looking at God. Look unto Jesus. Jesus. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who endured the cross, despising the shame. Don't look at your circumstance. Look to Jesus. Look to where He is, what He's done, and what He's doing in this world today. Join Him in His mission. He has a mission. And He's sending us on a mission, every one of us, to witness to our family and friends and co-workers and others around us. We're not in this world just to learn. We're not in this world just to fellowship. That's not the purpose. We could go to heaven and do that. This is a lot better up there too. We can, not about praising God. We can do a lot of that over here. But He doesn't. That's not the purpose. The purpose is for Him to accomplish His work in this world. And He has different works for everybody to do. And it all has to do with bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. Telling others about Christ. So we can bring them also into the kingdom of God. God is on mission. And we are to join Him in what He's doing in this world. Every single day. He speaks, we surrender His mission. And then He will accomplish His work through you. And you will get the joy, and He gets the glory. When it begins with man, man gets the glory. God says, I don't want to have nothing to do with that. When you do it only partially, you know, I'm going to just do some of what God said to do. You know, that's like not doing it at all. And He doesn't get the glory. It's only through His way, His will, 100% completely just like He said it. No other way. We deceive ourselves when we do it like Saul did. We did it partially. Oh, but I just did it this way. Or you changed it. Then God has to come back around and convict us again of what we needed to do. Witness to that family member. Witness to that person with cancer. Witness to this friend that you never told about Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know what God's telling you, but you know. You know deep in your soul. There's some here that you've never surrendered your life to Christ, and you're going to need to do that today. That you surrender your life completely and fully over to Jesus Christ, making Him the Lord, ruler, and master of your life. There's others, well, God has spoken to you about just living this Christian life, surrendered to Him and obedient to Him wherever He's working at every single day. It radically changed me. It shook me up and changed my whole focus of every day of my life. Amen. And then there's others. God is specifically saying specific things to your soul, deep inside of your soul. How do you know God's speaking? He speaks deep inside of your soul. He impresses on our spirit. I can't explain to you, just know when it happens. Now, yes, He can speak through people, circumstances, others, but I guarantee you when God speaks to you, that's an awesome thing. Amen. It's an awesome thing. Just think about it. You're having the God of this universe and this world that other people can't see, and He's speaking to little old you. Speaking to you right now. That's awesome. We should not take that for granted. We should not forget about that. We should not ignore that. The awesomeness of Almighty Living God speaking to you. And you're able to recognize it. Where so many people have blinded their eyes. They're living for themselves. And have no opportunity to ever respond to what Almighty God is saying. And you today have that opportunity. How fortunate you are. Don't ignore it today. Don't ignore it. Father, we're thankful that You are so good. That You, Almighty God, are alive. And that You love us. And You desire for us to know about Your Word and faith and how to live for You. Help us, O Father. Our spirit is willing, our flesh is weak. Help us not to forget to recognize what You're saying and to fully do exactly what You're saying. Bless each person here. Bless Brother Jeff and his wife. Bless this church, O Father, with the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless each person that has come in here today. And may Your Spirit speak and move, and that each person may respond to You today. In the name of Jesus, I praise You.
Amen. Brother Jeff.
Well, we need that. We need that that constant reminder of what we're really here for. It's not enough just to learn if you never do anything with it. And I think the Bible was clear in stating the more you know, the more you're responsible for. So we have a great responsibility. Let's go ahead and stand. I appreciate that word, brother. And would just like to reiterate, if there's anyone here today that has never accepted Christ as their Savior, you've never surrendered your life, the only question that I have is, what are you waiting for? I mean, is your life that good that Jesus Christ can improve on it? If you think it is, I'm here to tell you that it's not, because no matter how good your life is, there's always going to be the stain of sin. There's always going to be the conviction of sin. There's always going to be guilt. And what are you doing with the guilt? Well, you can't do anything with it. It's always going to be there until Jesus Christ comes in. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this word. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, the conviction that you bring to our hearts. Lord, to remind us that faith is more than just believing, but it's actually doing. Lord, and our desire is to do because we believe. Our desire, Lord, is to fulfill your will because we believe you are a great God, because you are a good God, and you have called us to do things for you that only we can do. In each one of our lives, Lord, we have a group of people that we are the only ones that have influence over them. We are the only ones that can carry them the gospel. So, Lord, you've called each of us. You've prepared each of us. You have empowered each one of us. Lord, help us to be like Noah and simply do what you've called us to do out of godly fear. Lord, out of reverence to you, for no other reason. Lord, our motivations are simply to fulfill your will. And Lord, guide us as we leave this place. Help us to retain this in our hearts and help us to see individuals, Lord. Show us the opportunities that are out there. Speak to our hearts and to our minds. And Lord, give us the courage and the strength and the faith to respond. Well, we might not have all the answers, but we know what God has done in our lives, and we can share that with everyone. And so, Lord, if there's anyone here today that has never accepted Christ as their Savior, I pray that, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts. Help them to understand that all they need to do is recognize that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins. That he gave his life. And now all he's asking is that they give their life to him. Lord, it's by your blood that we are forgiven of our sins. It's by your blood that we are introduced into the family of God. It's only by your blood that we can hope to have a home in heaven. We can't get there by our own efforts. I pray, Lord, that everyone here would know beyond a shadow of a doubt when they leave this place that Jesus Christ is their Savior. And Lord, if he is their Savior, I pray that we would not leave this place without knowing that he has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And so, Lord, fulfill your plan in our lives. Fill us with your Spirit. Guide us by your Word. And call us to you to do your will every day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.